Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. This week in the United States, it's National Eating Disorders Awareness Week. More than 30 million Americans have some kind of eating disorder. This week, we'll hear about how to get help. We'll also hear one woman's story about her struggle with bulimia that continued into her 60s.
It was a way to kind of disconnect and self-soothe myself through that, rather than working through what my issues are or were.
Eating disorders, what they are, and how to get help on this week's American Cafe.
You walk around here like you've got it all figured out. Well, if you're so fixed and special, why don't you go back to New Jersey or London or wherever the fuck you're from?
I am going back, as soon as my BMI is closer to my age. But right now, I'd rather try and help people than mope about feeling sorry for myself.
You have no idea how I'm feeling.
In the Netflix film To the Bone, actress Lily Collins plays a character who struggles with anorexia. The film was based in part on the real-life struggle of its director, Marty Noxon. More than 30 million Americans, men and women, battle some kind of eating disorder, whether it's anorexia, bulimia, exercise bulimia, or other illnesses. This week, the National Eating Disorders Association is highlighting its Let's Get Real program. Lauren Smoller is the NIDA Director of Programs. She says that people might consider getting help if their relationship with food has become unhealthy.
Ultimately, what's really going to define the eating disorder is that it's getting in the way of their ability to live a happy, healthy, flexible life.
On its website, NIDA lists some risk factors for developing an eating disorder. They include perfectionism, extreme dissatisfaction with your body image, having a relative who had a mental illness or eating disorder, and internalization of an ideal image. Lauren Smoller says that some of the images we see of celebrities on television, on the movies, or in magazines can reinforce an unrealistic ideal of the ideal body.
We know that people come in a lot of different shapes and sizes, and we know that there are different healthy shapes and sizes for different people. And I think the media can sometimes represent what that really looks like in a really complicated and unfair way.
Smoller says the pressure to fit that mold can be especially high on social media.
I think it's very hard to interpret what image is fully real and what image has been kind of doctored and looks a little bit different than reality, especially on social media, where that's becoming more and more typical.
For Iris Ruth Pastor, the struggle with bulimia began decades ago in her teens and continued into her 60s. Pastor, the author of The Secret Life of a Weight-Obsessed Woman, says that bulimia was a way to have the food she wanted but not gain weight.
I was somebody that liked to be in control, was a little bit of an overachiever and a perfectionist, but at the same time, I recognized, especially when I was in my teens, that when I was thin, I got a lot more attention than when I wasn't thin. So I started looking at it as a way to eat all the wonderful things that I secretly craved and then just go, which is kind of graphic, just go and throw it up, and then I wouldn't gain weight.
For Iris, her bulimia continued even after she graduated college, got married, and had children. She said the disease continued as she attempted to cope with struggles in daily life.
It started out as one thing, but morphed into something that was a little, you know, that really became a mental illness. It wasn't just, oh, I have a bad habit. It's a mental illness, and there's no question about that.
Iris told me that sudden life changes, like losing a job, losing a loved one, or children moving away from home, can sometimes trigger an eating disorder, even in middle-aged or older people.
Because those are things that tend to isolate you and throw you a little bit off balance. And I think when you lose that connectivity to people and you start going with your destructive thoughts more inward instead of more outward, that disordered eating can generally emerge.
Iris sought help in her 60s because she saw that the disease could destroy her relationships, and she told me she didn't want her children or grandchildren's last memory of her to be one of mental illness. But Iris said that overcoming eating disorders is not something that she or anyone else could do alone.
I think you have to admit that to yourself. And then I think the second thing is definitely getting professional help. It could be going to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a treatment center, inpatient, outpatient. There's a tremendous amount of different treatment options out there. But I think recognizing that for the vast majority of us that suffer from disordered eating patterns, you can't get better on your own. You really do need professional guidance and help.
Lawrence Moeller says that this year's theme for National Eating Disorders Awareness Week, Let's Get Real, is aimed at increasing awareness about our complex relationship with food, and not just for those who have an eating disorder.
And we're really talking about the expanded conversation of not just people that are struggling with clinical eating disorders, but how complex relationships with food, exercise, and appearance are, and what that means for society. We really want to open up that discussion and allow people to realize that there's support for them as well, and that this is something that so many people are struggling with all over the country.
We have links to NIDA's website and some of their social media pages on our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. So, what's your opinion? Let us know your thoughts by visiting our Facebook page. And if you want to find other episodes of our show, log on to voanews.com. Until next time, I'm David Byrd in Washington.